Look, we all got different needs, wants, and goals in life. As doctors, locum tenens definitely needs to be a part of that conversation. But you might wonder, how do I find out if locums is good for me? Here's my answer. Go to an unbiased, informative source like locumstory.com. You'll learn all the ins and outs of locums, details on travel and housing, how to find different jobs, tax information, and more. Get a comprehensive view of locums and decide if it's right for you at locumstory.com. Link is in the show notes.
Cancel Married to Medicine. I said what I said. Number one. I think that that show really allows people to think that you could really be that ratchet and it would not have an impact on your profession. If you and I are at an event and I just decide I'm going to just cold slap somebody in the face.
Don't put your mic. Be respectful.
Let me tell you something. Let me tell you.
And think that that's not going to have an impact on my career, then I'm really delusional.
Are doctors angels or something like that? We're human.
No, listen, if you're going to show that side, show everything. Show when the cops show up and take somebody away. I need to see that.
What's good, everyone? Welcome to another episode of Docs Outside the Box. I am your host, Dr. Nee. Actually, I'm very tired, Dr. Nee. I'm also joined by, I think it's going to stick, the habitual line stepper.
Oh, get out of here.
Also known as my beautiful wife, also known as chairperson emeritus of the Student National Medical Association, Dr.
Renee Darko.
That's right. That's right. You better use my last name. That's right. That's right. You know what I'm saying? Patriarchy at its best. Yo, what's good, everyone? Yo, shout out to everyone who's watching us on YouTube as well as listening to us on your favorite podcast app or your music app that you're listening to us. We're so grateful to be here. We're so grateful that you're listening to us on this April 1st. Happy Is it Happy Fool's Day or April?
Happy April Fool's Day.
I hope you got pranked. I hope you fell for all the BS. We didn't do any of that stuff this year.
No, there's a lot of stuff online, though. A lot of docs.
We tired.
A lot of docs were fooling people online.
I saw Z-Dog fooled a whole bunch of people over a discussion that he had with
Oz.
With Dr. Oz.
Mm-hmm. And then White Coat Investor was like, PSLF is canceled. Suckers.
Oh, he did do that?
Yeah, I sent that one to you.
I didn't get a chance to check a look at that. Okay.
Yeah, see, when your wife's sending you all kinds of Instagram reels,
guys,
you don't check it.
Listen, everybody, you can always get in contact with us through all the different social medias, but I think the two best ways, it's Instagram at Docs Outside the Box Podcast or just Docs Outside the Box?
Docs Outside the Box. Do you even know?
Okay, Docs Outside the Box. And then you could also text us at 833-230-2860. Now, the thing that I want you all to listen up to is this. And let me know if you also have this issue. If you have a significant other that constantly goes through Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, and finds something quote-unquote funny or viral, and then they send you a text message while you're driving, while you're doing something busy, and they think that you're just going to stop and just be like, yo, this is the funniest thing ever. Let me text you back.
I mean, but you do the same thing, me.
But I send one.
You don't send one. Stop playing.
And then you send like five, six in a row. It's like, look, I ain't got time to go through all of this
stuff. Stop playing.
And half of the stuff is not even that funny.
Stop playing, me. Stop playing.
If your significant other...
Get out of here. You do the same
thing. Does the same thing. Let a brother know. 833-230-2860. Or, you know, let me know at Docs Outside the Box, please. All right? On Instagram.
Get out of here.
So listen.
Do the same thing.
We got a lot to cover on this episode, but it's mainly a wrap-up of the Student National Medical Association's annual medical education conference. This is the 60th anniversary of a very important organization that we've been a part of. Renee's been constantly giving back to since 2002, 2003, and almost like a homecoming for me because it's been a long time since I've been back to New Orleans for an SNMA conference, and it was dope.
Mm-hmm.
Had a great time. Great time. SNMA is amazing. Hotel fees was crazy as hell, though. But.
Well, we had a suite. So.
Yeah, that's crazy. But anyway, real quick, before we get started, I just want to say shout out to Dr. Love Anani.
Yes.
Damn. If you're listening, Dr. Love is our resident EM listener.
Yes.
He listens to the show. He writes in all the time. But also at the same time, we got to see him work and do his magic.
Yo.
So his position is professional board member to the executive committee of the Student National Medical Association. Basically, what's the best way to describe his position? Because like it's kind of amorphous.
Yeah, I mean, he's the professional board member to the executive committee, which basically means that he's kind of the doctor, the actual doctor, or one of the doctors who's on the board, but he plays a very pivotal role in helping the students to oversee the day-to-day operations of the organization.
Well, damn it, they need to have him doing the day-to-day freaking fundraising, because
yo,
brother knew how to fundraise.
If anybody knows how to get the money, it's a Nigerian, yo!
This guy's acting like
Chop
it's a
your morning! Chop your money.
He's acting like it's a Nigerian wedding.
It might
he
as
was
well
making
have been.
Money like crazy, yo.
Yes,
so.
That alumni reception was off the chain.
Did a
had
good
me
job.
Bidding on stuff.
Did a good job, man. Did a good job. Excellent job, Dr. Love, yo. Excellent
yes,
job.
Yes.
If you guys ever need an MC for your event,
Dr.
he's the man.
Love Anani.
He's the
yes.
man. Whether it's Nigerian, whatever it is.
Yeah.
I don't know. Hire him for your bat mitzvah. I don't care. He gonna make you some money.
Yeah, no, he was really, really good. We had an alumni reception, doing a lot of fundraising during the reception. And I still want to encourage you guys, it's not too late to donate to the SNMA. Always, always, always an opportunity for you to donate. We're trying to raise $600,000 for the 60th anniversary. So just because the conference is over doesn't mean that the fundraising effort is over. So I would implore you all to give at least $600. Just $600. Go to snma.org. Go up to the right. Click donate. And yeah, I would implore you all, especially
so,
those
what
who
a time.
Are
what
students.
A time, guys. What a time.
Yeah.
This is a great time. If you are a med student, if you are a pre-med, I'm sure you're coming off the high of the Student National Medical Association. Some of you all who are far away from SNMA, you probably forgot, or if you've never been involved in SNMA, this is not just an opportunity, you know, for people to socialize and for people to fundraise. Yo, this is an opportunity for people to, if you're a pre-med, to meet up with different representatives from different medical mm-hmm. schools, right? So they have a big pre-med
yep.
exhibition or exhibitor fair. So all the medical schools that want to be there, they're there to recruit pre-meds, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then you have all of these different residencies coming to the residency and, or coming to the exhibitor fair.
Yeah.
And they're all in this big, huge convention center, exhibit hall, and they trying to recruit people.
Mm-hmm.
And it is very exciting. And then not only that, you got medical students and pre-meds going to different seminars, trying to get the education on.
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of that, you got doctors, like the medical students trying to get phone numbers from the other medical students. It is an amazing time.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it really is.
Which the bigger competition, trying to get into residency or trying to get phone numbers? I'm serious.
Phone numbers for what purpose, me? For the social aspect?
For the social aspect.
For the social aspect. I want to know, who got numbers at the SNMA? That's what I want to know. Who got numbers
833-230-2860.
Let us know if you got the hookup on.
So, we were there. I'm just doing hard transitions today.
That's it.
We were there to talk about global health. Right. So we did a talk on global health. Then
yes.
we did a combo discussion podcast with the Lounge podcast. That was dope.
Yeah.
OK. And then we also recorded at the Hub, which is basically right in the center of the exhibitor fair. That was dope, too. That was fun.
Yeah.
That was the best part because like there's just not chaos, but it's just so much. There's noise. There's, you know, you're just in the exhibitor fair and people are trying to get into med school. People are trying to get into residency. They making things happen. People taking headshots. You know, people just sitting, chilling. People trying to get phone numbers. It don't matter. It is a lot of stuff going on and there's just a lot of energy.
How many phone number attempts did you witness?
A lot. Let's just say a lot. And we're going to talk about that later. But let's jump into our global health talk, which Dr. Love got us into, mm-hmm. roped us into at the last minute.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
we were
it
very
was
happy.
So great.
We were very happy to do it.
Yeah.
Real quick, without getting into the specifics, we just talked about our experiences with doing global health. And in essence, kind of taught the medical students as well as the pre-meds. If you want to do a medical mission, this is how you vet a organization. Mm-hmm. These are the things that you need to prep for before you go on a medical mission.
Yeah.
And these are the people that we're kind of looking for, right? Like
right.
people who are X, Y, and Z.
Right.
These are the best people,
the
characteristics of somebody who should mm-hmm. be coming to a medical mission.
Yeah.
That's what we did.
I mean, the
students, and we had a full house.
Yeah.
I was really shocked by that.
Yeah, me too. I think the students.
You weren't expecting that?
Well, I mean, I was expecting, you know, a good number of students, but the room was actually packed.
Yes.
And that actually shocked me a little bit. But the students asked such great questions.
Yeah, there was a lot of medical students asking some, like, in-depth questions. I was like, hold up a second.
Yeah. And some of them had really good experiences already.
Yeah.
And many of them had very specific ideas that they wanted to kind of talk about, you know, how they could execute on these ideas that they had. So it was just very inspiring to see, like, wow, these students are going to not only graduate from medical school, but they're really, you know, thinking about making a difference, not just in the United States, but, you know, abroad.
So normally, I think now, 10 years out, see, I struggle with, like, they are thinking way ahead,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
it's really inspiring, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
you see that zeal.
Yeah.
You see them, like, so excited to want to change the
mm-hmm.
world. And now I think a lot of people are realizing, you know, I could do that in the United States, but I could see, like, there's a bigger stage that I can go out and really help and make a difference. So I want to do some medical missions. There were some people who already done medical missions
yes.
already at that point.
Yeah.
So part of me was like, listen, you need to focus on
finishing med school first.
Correct.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it is the other part of me is like, man, I just really don't want to stomp on that, like, excitement that they have, right? Because
mm-hmm.
that might be the thing that's driving them through
mm-hmm.
the hard times
mm-hmm.
of medical school or the hard times of trying to figure out what medical school they're going to get into.
Yeah.
You know, so I was really impressed.
Yeah.
I'll leave it to you like that. And I was impressed by the questions, even for the people who didn't speak up
mm-hmm.
and they might even be thinking, like, how's that person, like, a first year
right,
or maybe a third
right.
year, and they've already gotten medical mission experience?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you will get there too eventually. I was just, overall, I was really impressed. And then the biggest thing was when the event was over, because we were competing
yeah.
with the president's luncheon.
Yeah.
A significant amount of people
Shout
just stayed.
Shout out to Jania. Congratulations. Our 61st SNMA president. But yes, go ahead.
A significant amount of people stayed. And they asked questions and wanted to know specifics, like
yeah.
how can they make their medical mission experience better?
Mm-hmm.
What could they do to improve X, Y, and Z?
Mm-hmm.
And there were questions that I couldn't even answer.
Well, I mean, I think the most important part of it, like at the end with that group of students who ended up staying, I think you did the most important thing was to share your story about, you know, how you got to the point where you could do medical missions and actually have that be a significant part of your life, right? And part of that was, you know, letting them know that you have to have certain controls over your career here
oh,
in
yeah,
the United
yeah,
States
yeah.
if you want to be able to have the bandwidth to do medical missions and make that a big part of your life, right? So you don't want to be strapped by money, strapped by your career.
Yeah, I was really, that was another thing, folks, is the medical students were asking, how would I be able to convince either my residency
yeah.
or my job
yeah.
to let me do this? I was shocked by that because that means that they're thinking, they know that they're not going to just be able to go willy-nilly
yeah.
and go and do this, which is great that they're thinking about that, but
yeah.
it's kind of, you know, like, damn, like, I got to worry about that additional constraint.
Mm-hmm.
So I shared with them. I was just telling them for real, like, you know, when I was transitioning from residency to fellowship, that's when you went
mm-hmm.
to Ghana for the first time and did a medical mission.
Yeah.
And then I wanted to do one and we did it together right before we got married.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was hooked.
Yeah.
And once I was hooked, we go pretty much on a yearly basis. And the times that we missed were when you were pregnant
or the pandemic
mm-hmm. and stuff. But I think the biggest thing to share with folks is, you know, I was telling them, like, look, like, the world is your oyster. You can do whatever you want to do. Mm-hmm. The key things is realizing that your career is going to look different. Like the person to your left, the person to your right, like your careers are not going to be the same.
Right.
But some of the things that may hold you back are having a ton of student loan debt or being in a job that you don't want to be in. Mm-hmm. So you got to be really careful to have a plan on that.
Yep.
And if you decide to do medical missions, you know, just know that when you do it, like it's going to bring so much reward to you and stuff. And not only the people that you're helping, but also to yourself.
Yeah.
So, I think that right there put me on a high starting the conference.
Well, and another thing that we kind of talked to them about, which a couple of students afterwards came up to me and talked to me about that, was, you know, thinking about the benefits of doing a medical mission, but also talking about the potential harms of a medical mission.
Yeah. So we talked about that.
Yeah,
we talked about that move, or excuse me, that documentary that's on HBO Max. Mm-hmm. What's her name? Renee Bach.
Whatever her name is.
B-A-C-H. Yeah. But anyway, that documentary is about a woman who has no medical training whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And she went overseas and was practicing in Rwanda, I believe.
Yeah.
For about 5 years and significant amount of deaths on a weekly basis to the point where she finally
wasn't practicing. She was experimenting.
She's not trained in medicine at all.
Right. So she was experimenting. So we talked a little bit about that. And then we even talked about, you know, experienced and well-trained physicians going in for sustainable or, you know, substantial amounts of time, right, depending on where you are and how that also might be harmful.
You want to share your story again about what happened in Haiti with the woman that you had to do something in the camp?
Oh, that.
Because there's people who are listening. The other thing we didn't give shout out to is all the new listeners that are listening.
Yes.
That the people who jumped on during the SNMA conference. Shout out to you. Thank you guys for watching this episode. Welcome. Where y'all been? but I do think that you should let people know about that story again, you know?
Yeah. So that's kind of another point that we were talking about. But, you know, things
Renee's
that...
Renee's like, yeah, don't fast forward when you don't...
No. What I was talking about was when you go for a substantial amount of time, potentially what you can do is you can, as a mission, potentially take away the livelihood of the doctors who live in that particular country, right? So that you have to be really careful about. But what you were talking about is, you know, if there are things that you have to be adaptable with, but still be ethical about. Mm-hmm. And that was what happened with me was when I went to Haiti and there was this young lady who I didn't know what was going on. Her abdomen was essentially a surgical abdomen. I didn't know if she had a ectopic or if she had, you know, some other abdominal process going on. My thought process was that she had an ectopic just based on the history that she gave me. But, you know, I ended up, you know, just,
and this is during the earthquake.
This is
2011.
Yeah, 2010.
2010.
2010. This is a month after the earthquake. So she comes in, and so I don't have an ultrasound or anything, and I end up putting in a speculum, essentially doing a colticentesis, put in a needle behind her cervix, and pulling back and pulling out pus, and realizing, oh, she doesn't have an ectopic. She most likely has an appendicitis. So, you know, we don't really do that in the United States.
No, we don't do that because we got CTs.
At least not anymore.
We got ultrasounds.
Exactly.
When they got pus, they need us.
Right. So we don't really do that in the United States. So I had to adapt and do something that I normally would not necessarily do in the United States. And so we kind of talked about being adaptable, but also being ethical.
Yeah.
Right. So one thing I would never do is open up her belly and take out her appendix, because that I'm definitely not trained for.
Don't do that.
So
I think I wish I got a chance to share my story, which was about my story that I always want to talk about, but I never really shared that often, is just resources. Mm-hmm. And, you know, things are just readily available in the United States or in industrialized countries.
I think I know where you're going,
but they just don't have that in certain countries, and you just take it for granted. But basically, there was in the middle, I can't remember if it was 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Anyhow, this was an OB patient, actually, a gyn patient. Mm. She had surgery, And she was one of the last surgeries that we did. So it was in the evening time. And then patient is recovering, you know, anesthesia team is taking care of the patient. And then, you know, patient goes back to the recovery room.
Mm-hmm.
We leave, we go and we're eating dinner. And then the head of our program who's there with us gets a call saying that, yeah, like the patient is not really waking up. It's hard for her to breathe. They're mm-hmm. bagging her. So like we quickly leave where we're at, take a bus back to mm-hmm. the hospital, and basically we're bagging the patient in essence.
And by hand.
Yeah, by hand. Well, that's what bagging is.
Yeah, no, right? I know. But I want, excuse me, I want the students who may not really understand, right? Like we have pre-meds and stuff listening. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're bagging the patient because she's just obtunded. She just is not awake.
Mm-hmm.
Basically what happened is the patient got anesthesia, but the medications hasn't worn off yet. And usually there's a medication that we give the patient, very simple medication that reverses all of that.
Narcan. Everybody knows what Narcan is nowadays.
They didn't have that at that facility. Mm-hmm. So we literally had to pay like a layman who's just like a maintenance person mm-hmm. to get on his motorcycle, drive 30 minutes one way to another hospital, get the drug at the local pharmacy, mm-hmm. come back on motorcycle, give the medication, and she wakes up.
Yeah.
Right? So now we're talking about almost 45 minutes to 60
minutes at least
of bagging this patient.
Yeah, by hand.
Gets the medication and she wakes up. And thank goodness there wasn't any long-term effects or mm-hmm. so that we could see, but it just lets you know about you can take things for granted.
Yep.
And that's why I think it's really important that a lot of students get a chance to go and see what medicine is like in an underdeveloped country mm-hmm. or a low resourced environment.
Yep.
So that when they come back to the United States, they kind of know how to be very miserly with certain resources or just to be on the present, basically. Just mm-hmm. kind of be like aware of just how many resources we have and do we really necessarily need that to make the diagnoses, like, for example, that like you made mm-hmm. without a CT scan or without an ultrasound.
Yeah.
You're being adaptable.
And also knowing what your limitations are when you go overseas, understanding what you have and what you actually don't have. And don't go over there trying to be a cowboy or a cowgirl, you know, not realizing or realizing that you don't have the resources, but taking a chance anyway.
Yeah. Don't be flipping gloves inside out from case to case.
Yes.
Don't do that, guys. We will call you out. We will find you. And
that's a true story.
Send you back.
Yeah, that's a true story. Flipping your gloves inside out to do another case because you ran out of gloves. Not acceptable. Not acceptable. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's really important. But I mean, it was really good. And I think what was really great about it was that throughout the time after we did that particular session, students kept coming up to us and going, oh my goodness, I really enjoyed your session. So hopefully we made a good impression.
I think we did.
Yeah.
I think we did. And, you know, it goes a long way. And remember, guys, if you're interested in the organization that we work with International Healthcare Volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
The website is ihcv.org. Once again, it's ihcv.org. Let us know if you're interested and you want to just know a little bit more before you sign up. You can text us at 833-230-2860. We'll give you the scoop as to what's going on.
Yeah.
Let's change directions into something that was really interesting that we've never done before, which is almost like a co-podcast mm-hmm, broadcast. Mm-hmm. At the SNMA. So we did a talk with The Lounge. That is SNMA's official podcast, The Lounge, which is an amazing podcast. You guys need to be listening to that. If you really want to know what medical students are thinking on if you just want to know what they're thinking, listen to this podcast. You know, I'm trying to get
There's
all smooth.
No word.
I'm trying to get smooth with it.
There's so. No word.
Basically. But their talk was on, and we jumped in on it, social media and medicine.
Yeah.
And talk, we talked about, like, what are the positives that we can get from social media as doctors? What's the history of using social media mm-hmm. as doctors? And kind of where we're at right now with, like, this huge influx of media influencers mm-hmm. that are doctors. And it was really good.
Yep.
It was really good.
Yeah. They did a great job.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did a great job curating the information and
I was surprised. Nice. There was a point where we asked, you know, the listeners or asked the people who came, like, are they interested in being influencers themselves in medicine?
Mm-hmm.
And the majority of them raised their hands.
Yeah.
The one thing that I didn't ask was, are you interested in this because you think that your patients need to hear this, or are you interested in this because it's a bag? And you know me, I like to be, I mean, I think both could be mutually exclusive,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, they can also, you know, one can benefit off the other, right?
Okay.
Like, it'd be great to talk to your patients and increase your patient profile, but also get a bag from that also, right?
Right.
But it was really interesting to ask that question, because I would think that the majority of doctors still would want to shy away from that. And it takes like a certain personality to be there. But
mm-hmm.
I think when you see people from different backgrounds doing well on social media, right, doing like different types of personalities doing well on
right.
social media as a physician, you're like, well, why can't I do it?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really interesting.
Yeah.
We had two people who volunteered. One was I forget where he was from, but basically he was an entertainer, basically,
mm-hmm.
and then transitioned into becoming, he's a medical student now,
yeah.
doing
yeah.
well. I think he's in his second year or third year.
Yeah.
And he's really, his big thing now is obviously he wants to finish medical school, but he wants to make sure that he lets other people know that, you know, you can transition from one career
to another,
to a, you know, mm-hmm. to being a doctor. And then the other one was, I think she was a third year or fourth year. She's going into anesthesia, I believe, or OB.
No, she's going into OB.
But yeah, she has like over 10,000 followers
mm-hmm.
on TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
And she's doing her thing. So
yeah. No, that was a really interesting discussion, because we also got into, okay, if you're going to be a doctor and an influencer, right? Whether that be social media or even reality TV, we got into talking about reality TV. Like, are you putting on your true persona?
Right? Yes, yes, yeah. That was something that you teased out. You
yes,
teased out.
I brought up because I said, I think, I forget what the question was, or I think it was maybe something like, what would you change about, you know, kind of media and whatever within medicine? And I said that they would cancel Married to Medicine. I said what I said.
What's changed in healthcare? The opportunities, the lifestyle, and you. Now's the perfect time to explore locum tenens and see how it might fit into your career story. Trust me, this is not a one-size-fits-all solution for everyone, and the variety of opportunities might surprise you. I recommend starting your research at locumstory.com, an unbiased, educational resource about locum tenens. You're going to find stories of locum physicians from all walks of life, so you get a bigger picture of the diverse options. The Locum Story website also has a tool that lets you explore locums' pay and demand for your specialty, and even compare to different locum tenens agencies. There's even a simple quiz to see if locums is a right fit for you. Locums could be an essential part of your career that adapts to your needs. Do your own research at locumstory.com. It's easy. Link is in the show notes.
Yeah, you're not a big fan of Married to Medicine.
I said what I said. No, I'm not. I'm not a big fan of Married to Medicine. The concept of Married to Medicine is good. I think the execution leaves a lot to be desired.
Okay, but if there were like five other shows that were something similar where they're talking about relationships, but from a married medical mm-hmm. professional's perspective, but it wasn't as ratchet.
Ratchet is the right word.
As Married to Medicine. Would you still mm-hmm. be calling for the cancellation of that show?
No. I mean, I think, listen.
Because that's what I'm saying. Is like, I think because there's only one of that.
No.
It's an N of one.
No. I think it's the execution of that particular show.
But I just asked you, if there were four other shows that were similar to that, but they weren't as ratchet, they mm-hmm. talked about the same types of things, but there weren't as many fights,
mm-hmm.
there wasn't as many, you know, F words, it was showing some positive things and some, but it wasn't,
right.
Would you still call for the cancellation of that show, the
yes.
one that's really ratchet?
Yes.
Okay, initially you said no.
No, well,
maybe
I mean,
you didn't
yes.
understand what I was talking
yeah.
about.
So okay. I'm saying yes, I would call for the cancellation for that show because, number one, I think that show really it really allows people to think that you could really be that ratchet and it would not have an impact on your profession. It wouldn't have an impact on your career. You can't go to people's houses or go to events and start fighting people and throwing people into pools or whatever the heck the thing was. I'm like, you can't go around doing things like that and think that that doesn't have an implication on your career.
You think it does?
I think it does. Absolutely, I think it does.
What do you mean, in terms of like getting a misdemeanor or a felony?
No,
or?
Well, I mean, certainly it could turn into that. Yes, right? It could turn in that, you know, turn up that you're arrested. But at the same time, if you are among your peers and we're at an event, if you and I are at an event and I just decide I'm going to just cold slap somebody in the face.
You know what, sweetheart?
How you look?
I look way too pretty,
Mariah,
to talk to you.
Don't put your mouth.
Be respectful.
Let me tell you something. Let me tell you. You know what you can do with your apology? You can kiss it.
Okay.
And think that that's not going to have an impact on my career because I'm amongst my colleagues, then I'm really delusional, right? And so the only reason that I would ever be doing something like that is because the cameras are on.
Yeah, you're getting a bag from
that. And I'm getting a bag. I know I'm going to get paid for clocking somebody in the face.
You're probably getting more of a bag from that than you are from your own practice.
Absolutely. So.
But
right?
Listen, I mean, look.
But I mean, for me, look, I'm just like, how do you sell your soul like this?
As medical professional,
come
like,
on.
Like, are doctors angels or something like that? I don't understand.
I'm not
that.
Saying doctors are
like,
angels.
Are doctors like
I'm
priests
not saying
or
doctors
something like
are
that?
Angels, but what I'm saying
I don't understand.
Is that
like, we're human.
No, listen, if you're going to show that side, show everything. Show everything.
What do you mean show everything?
Show everything.
Like
I'm
what?
Sorry, but like there is no way. There are consequences to things like
this. Like what? What consequences are you talking about?
I mean, you don't think that would impact someone's career?
In what way? That's what I said. Like a felony, a misdemeanor, losing your license from smacking someone up?
So first, number one, they're in a sterile environment because ain't nobody calling the cops, right?
Okay.
It's a show, okay. Right? So nobody's calling the cops. So, but if you actually did that at someone's home or at an event, yeah, somebody actually might call the cops.
Mm-hmm.
Show that. Show when the cops show up and take somebody away. I need to see that.
The day of the Geechee's over. The day of the Geechee's over.
I need to see that. I need to see somebody get fired from their job because
Why are you
of
so
something
passionate
like
about
that.
This?
Because I just think it is a poor representation of medical professionals. Mm. And I think that there are a lot of young people who are watching, who feel like, oh, like doctors are people too, which we are, and doctors certainly can act up, but doctors are not immune to the consequences of acting up. They just not.
So what if someone acted like that towards you?
Like what?
Like on Married to Medicine, what are you gonna do?
You mean, would I defend myself?
Yeah.
Absolutely, I would defend myself.
Mm.
I'm not going to let somebody slap me just because I might not get a letter of recommendation.
Mm.
I mean, I'm going to defend myself.
833-230-2860. Let us know what you should do in that situation. I'm just playing with you. I understand. I get it.
I wish somebody
I do think,
let a naysayer know.
I do think that if you are going to make... Well, listen, I just think that it's good to have multiple aspects of different shows, right? Or what's the word I want to say? Different. You have to have, you can't just have one, like Married to Medicine is.
Is one, right? Is
it's
one
only
aspect.
Just one of those shows.
Show
you need multiple
whole
types of shows.
Thing then.
But.
Don't make it a sterile environment.
Mm-mm.
Because people don't live in sterile environments. People don't live.
People live with consequences.
Right. People live with consequences. Not because, oh, I signed this contract that I wouldn't call the cops.
But some of them have like practices because I've seen the
of
show and
they
go into their practices.
Of course they do.
In.
And I want to be clear. I know it's not all of them who are like that on the show. Some of them don't necessarily, you know, put out that persona, but there are a couple of them that do, and I'm just kind of like, what you think? Like, this is not real.
Yeah.
You know, this is not real. And so I say to the pre-meds, the med students out there, like that, this is a sterile environment that these characters are in. So just beware. You want to be ratchet, that's fine, but you got to understand Bravo ain't there to protect you.
But Docs Outside the Box is, because
no,
we got a giveaway that we want to give. We got some money. All right.
Yes,
speaking of giving
yes,
a bag, why don't
yes.
we talk about the giveaway that we did? So
yes.
if you were at SNMA when we were speaking at the Hub, or I can't remember, there were some other places where we were at.
Yeah, doing floor interviews.
If you signed up for the giveaway, which is one person will win a $100 gift card. Mm-hmm. Did we say where it was from? Was it Amazon?
No, it's just a gift card.
$100 gift card.
Don't do too much.
Another person will give a $75 gift card, and another person will win a $50 gift card.
I know. First of all, let's talk about how people was fronting. They didn't want to sign up for the giveaway.
Oh, yeah, they was acting. Some of these people.
Oh, whatever. I'm like, so if I gave you $100 right now, if I had $100, you smack it out of my hand.
Yeah, there was
Stop
some
playing.
People. There was some people who were
Stop
like,
playing.
Listen, why don't you jump into the giveaway so that you can win some money?
Yo, there was this little young buck. I was like, yo, if I had $100 and I slapped that thing across
the
street.
He looked shy, though. He's a shy guy.
Yeah, he was shy, but he would have taken the money. That's what I'm saying. But he didn't want to bring up his
thing. But you was kind of intimidating him, though.
So?
That's cool.
And?
Well,
you said being ratchet was okay.
Well, you know, maybe that's what it was.
And I'm married to medicine.
You probably should have toned it down a little bit. But he was kind of ratchet. Or excuse me, he was kind of scared a little bit. But hey, it is what it is. But for everyone who signed up, we did say that April 2nd, which is tomorrow when this episode comes out, that we will be letting people know who won the giveaway. Yes. So why don't we do you want to do the $50 one first?
$50 one first.
Okay.
Let me roll the dice. And I'm not going to look. Hold on. And the winner is Ralph Brown.
Yay!
Ralph Brown. I don't know who that is, but we got his email.
All right, Ralph. Congratulations on winning $50. You can use that to slap somebody up.
Ralph?
You can use that for bail money.
Brown.
All right, but thank you for signing up for the giveaway. You have won $50. We will contact you through email. Hopefully that's your real email.
I know.
Right?
Stop playing, Ralph Brown.
chocolatethunder@gmail.com. Hopefully that's your real email address.
Yep.
And we'll contact you.
Because if it's not, it's going to somebody else.
Mm.
All right, next one is a $75 gift card. Let's see, I'm looking. And this is Ginger Sanders.
That
Sanders.
That sounds like I'm not going to say it.
What?
Ginger Sanders,
yeah.
Well, congratulations, Ginger. You have won $75. We will contact you by email. Hopefully you give us your real email address.
Yep, I hope so.
And we
I
will
hope
get
so.
That gift card to you ASAP. Congratulations, right. Ginger. Thank you for participating.
Last one.
This is for $100, y'all.
$100.
$100.
Hold on.
$100.
Cash money. All right. Last one goes to Jessica. Jessica Westmoreland.
Okay, Jessica Westmoreland.
She's a medical student.
You won one. She's a what?
Medical student.
Used $100 right there. That can get you. What can I get her?
I don't know. $100.
That can get you lunch for a week. At your med school, because you know the cafeteria price is high as hell. They'd be trying to get you. But congratulations.
Jessica Westmoreland.
Everybody who signed up.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. We're not going to share your email addresses or anything like that. We have an internal way of making sure that we protect that, but we want to appreciate everybody who signed up for the giveaway. We also gave away merch. Yeah, we had dope merch where we had these dope cups that had Docs Outside the Box logo on it. So everybody who signed up for the giveaway not only got an opportunity
should've
to win money, they should have gotten a cup also. But we were very good with making sure that if you signed up, you got a cup.
You got a cup. Yeah, you was giving cups away to people who ain't even signed up.
That's true, I was, but you know. Either way, congratulations,
you got a cup.
Y'all.
Free cup.
Make sure you email us, we will email you and make sure that you guys get that money.
Yes.
So let's pivot real quick before we end this. I want to talk about some thoughts that I had in my mind as the event is going on, as well as, on the plane home. I got a chance to kind of debrief, and let me look at my notes. So one of the things that I said in my mind is, no matter the turnover, the one thing that remains the same, right? Mm. These are things that I think to myself, right? Because now I graduated 2006 and have been in and out of SNMA for some time. You have been very consistent from 2006 up until now with your participating, hence why you have an emeriti position. But for someone like me who's, been on the outskirts and then coming back in, the things that remain the same to me that really stand out is, even though there's a constant, like every 4 year turning over of medical students and even on a yearly basis of pre-med students, the one thing that stays the same is that they need mentorship.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Like pre-meds constantly have anxiety of, are they going to get into medical mm-hmm. school? Which med school to choose?
Yep.
You know, like how many recommendations they need?
Mm-hmm.
Like this stuff gets expensive. Can they afford to do this?
Yep. It's exhausting.
It gets really exhausting.
Mm-hmm.
And I think just talking to them, you like if you just sit there and you just listen to them. And, you know, when you're like 14 years out or 15 years out, you're like, ah, you know, you've been there, you'll get in. Like they can't see that, like
right.
that air of just relax, you know, you'll make it, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I caught myself almost about to say that to people. But then I thought about, I was like, look, like you have to go through the process, the stress
yes.
before you can get to the point where you're giving someone advice and saying, ah, you know,
mm-hmm.
you'll be all right. It's all going to work out. It's like, no, it's not, motherfucker. I don't know. Shit. Am I going to get in or what? This is tough.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stress.
Yeah.
You know,
even past getting into medical school. Right. Am I going to get through medical school?
Yeah. I mean, if you're in medical school, they're thinking about, am I going to pass my tests?
Mm-hmm,
I don't have enough time to pass my tests and yep. take boards. Am I doing mm-hmm. enough questions? Should yep. I continue to read the textbooks?
Am I going to get into residency?
Do I have the points to get into residency?
Mm-hmm.
How do I handle conflict?
Yeah.
If you're a resident,
yep.
how do I handle conflict? I don't get along mm-hmm. with my chief resident.
Yep.
Or I don't get along with my co-resident.
Program director.
Should I do a fellowship?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How about relationships, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like you were giving relationships to my mentee.
Yeah.
Right? You're giving relationships on, you know, on relationship advice.
Yeah.
On how to handle, you know, breakup. How to handle, you know, even interacting with her parents.
Mm-hmm.
Like these are things that are just so like, oh my God. It's like,
yeah.
When you're talking to someone going through, you're like, shit, I remember all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Not having the answers.
Yeah.
Not having the perspective. Just like, yo, like, I don't know what I'm going to do today.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what I'm going to do tomorrow. Or how do I figure this out? Because I don't know how I'm going to end up.
Right.
Oof.
Yeah.
That's a lot. It's a lot to think about, y'all. And
yeah.
I definitely heard a lot. And then, you know, there was people who would come up to us and say, hey, we listen to your show. Yo, shout out to the folks from
Emmanuel and Josh.
Yes. Shout out to Emmanuel and Josh, University of California, San Francisco psychiatry program. I think their first years.
Yep. Psychiatry residents. Yep.
Yeah. They are the most. These guys have been listening to our podcast for a significant period of time.
Yeah.
They gave us the biggest props.
Emmanuel was like, this is wild. This is wild.
Yeah, he was really like really
yo,
excited.
Yeah, he souped our heads up.
He's
yo.
Really no. He was excited to see me.
He souped our heads up.
No, he souped my
but
heads.
He
up.
Was
but
like,
he was talking to me.
I can't believe I'm.
I can't be Dr. Darko.
I can't believe
no, that
he was
you
saying,
did.
He was saying that to both of us.
No, he was talking to me.
He was saying that to both of us.
No, he was talking
he,
to
like,
me.
Like he literally made us feel like celebrity status.
You by proxy. Yo.
Whatever.
Yo, Emmanuel, thank you very much, yo. Because, yo, real quick, another thought that I had was, yo, the medical influencers at the SNMA, damn, y'all are on point.
Yeah.
Shit.
Who did we see?
Yo, we saw Dr. Matthew or Dr. Iggy. We had Dr. Triggs, the plastic surgeon there.
Mm-hmm.
There was a whole bunch of other people. Oh, I can't even think.
Who else was there? Dr. Tosin was there.
Yes, Dr. Tosin was there. I didn't get a chance
Stephen
to see
Bradley.
Her.
Dr. Stephen Bradley was there.
Yes, he was.
Who else? Who else was there? Oh my gosh, if we forgot you, I'm sorry.
Well, either way.
There were so many.
If you're listening to this and you're a medical influencer, we didn't mention you.
Oh,
we see you.
I persevere.
Who's yeah, that? He was there. Well,
he's a med student?
He's the one who matched at PCOM Family
okay,
Medicine.
Okay, yeah.
He like he's been a listener to Docs Outside the Box from the get-go.
Uh-huh.
So shout out to you, congratulations.
Yeah.
He's from Ghana.
So there's a lot of Ghanaians there.
Nigerians, Caribbeans.
Yo.
There's
hey,
a lot.
Yo.
There's a lot. There's
Whoa.
A lot.
Yep, I saw some of my students there. Shout out to James Abwache.
Yeah, he's at University of California.
Yep.
Which one is he at?
Which one's Darren Ward.
He's at Drew.
Drew.
Yeah.
Yep, both of them are at Drew. Those are two of my medic students.
Yeah.
Yep.
So let's talk about the women real quick.
Wait. And Denise Asamoah, pre-med still,
mm-hmm.
but shout out to her sister. I forget her sister's name. But her sister's a med student. So some of my medic students out there.
All right. Women, how are they dressing?
They did good. For the most part. They did good for the most part. For the most part. There were some that I was like, oh, baby, let me take you aside.
Let's talk about the some. Because that's what people tune in for. Let's talk about the some.
There were some that I that was like, what? Oh, baby, let me take you aside. I didn't take anybody aside.
If you have to strap your shoes, if you have to wrap your shoes up your leg, the straps, what do you think?
Well, for the banquet, that might be appropriate. Maybe not for the...
How much thigh meat should be showing?
For the banquet, that might be okay. It depends. I can't believe you're going to get me canceled.
Look at you all conservative.
No. I'm not.
Look at you being all conservative
stuff. So I will tell you.
You should be wearing pantyhose. Like, shut up.
Anyway, I haven't worn pantyhose in like 20 years, so I don't really care about pantyhose. No, I will tell you this, though. I will tell you this. There are some things that I think women can wear no matter what size they are, but you got to wear them in your size. Like, that's important. I don't care what size you are. You have to wear it in your size. If you pulling and tugging on a dress, it is not your size. That's it. That is the marker. I pulled on this dress two times. If you pulled on the dress two times, it's not your size. Take it off, baby. Take it off.
All right, let's shift to the men.
To the men. Pull your shoes up.
Won't y'all pull your shoes up?
What do you mean pull their shoes
pull
up?
Pull your shoes up.
I don't get it.
Pull your shoes up, like Martin Lawrence. Yo, man, pull your shoes up.
Oh, because their pants are too high?
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, that's... Okay, yeah. So the dudes, for the most part, did a really good job, like the women. Most of the dudes...
wearing freaking things but there's some of them, the ankle, but not some quite them, three quarters.
Y'all showing too much Achilles. I'm like, damn, how much Achilles are you showing, yo? Like, when you see the whole Achilles, including the ash that's coming from the back of the shoe, you know, the back of the shoe that's rubbing
man,
on the back on the ash,
up.
Like, on back of the Achilles, it's like, yo, above the ankle bone, you can see that too, the medial malleolus and the lateral malleolus to the calf muscle, yo.
Pull your shoes up, sir.
But for the most part, they did a good job. Nah. But some of them was ran, this stuff was a little too tight.
A little too tight.
It's a little too young.
If you look. The bar is if you pull at your clothes. If you're pulling at your clothes at any point.
But you don't have to pull on your clothes. If it's some of these pants, they're made to they're made to be short like that.
No. I'm not talking about the ankle stuff.
Maybe they're like capri pants or something.
I'm talking about
capri slacks.
I'm talking about some of the men be tugging at the top.
Okay.
Right? Because it's just too tight around the crotch and the waist.
Yeah, If you pull twice
on your clothes,
those European cuts, they just they're not giving too much space. So
you got two times to pull, and then it's not your size. You just know. That's it. That's the rule.
It's amazing how, like, if you show me in 2014 or 2004 compared to how they dress it now, it's like baggy everything to like European cut
of
everything.
They talk bad about us too. Now it's our turn. We old enough. They talk bad about us too. I'm sure there's something that I wore that somebody was like, let me pull you aside.
If I remember you were wearing, you dressed like a goody two shoes.
How did I dress like a goody two shoes?
You did.
What
you dressed like a goody two. You had like a sweater with like a bow tie on the side.
What
like,
does that even mean, Nee?
Like Shirley wasn't, whatever. Anyway, let's transition.
I don't know what that means.
Let's transition last but not least. Yo, guys, we're going to be releasing some things on social media where we.
The floor interviews.
Yeah, we did some floor interviews where we just grabbed just random people, med students, pre-meds, and just asked them questions.
Yeah.
Right? Some of the questions that we asked them were things like, you know, why'd you choose SNMA over other student organizations?
Mm-hmm.
What specialty would you definitely not consider, you know, as they're in medical school or as they're in pre-meds, just to kind of see what they definitely don't want.
Mm-hmm.
And then we asked them, what do they want? So we're not going to be able to give you a little sample right now, but maybe later on in later episodes, we'll be able to do that. But also check us out on all social medias at Docs Outside the Box.
Wait. Before you do that, let's ask the audience the best question.
Of course. I'm not at that, but I'm just telling them that where they can follow up on
it. Okay.
But before we end this, though, we want to ask a really good question to y'all. Listen, if you are listening right now, right, if you're on YouTube or if you're on, you know, whatever you're listening to us audio-wise, text us at 833-230-2860.
Or just send us a, you know, Instagram message.
So I want to know, never have I ever at an SNMA AMAC conference.
Yes.
That's what we want to know. Now, the answers that we had, there were some people, like, the beginning, they were like, oh, never have I ever, like, missed, like, church on the Sunday of Easter. It's like,
my mom's watching.
Like, never have I ever cheated on a test. Like, shut your ass up. Like, why are you lying? And then as people started to get used to it, they started seeing other people answer the questions. Yeah. Then we really started getting some answers.
A little juicier.
So, Dr. Renee, you crazy. On the spot. Never have I ever at an SNMA conference. Don't forget, I got you recorded. So let's see if your answer stays consistent.
Never have I ever at an SNMA conference passed out drunk.
Are you sure?
Been drunk, haven't passed out drunk.
At an SNMA conference?
Yeah, I've never passed out drunk.
As a pre-med?
No, definitely not as a pre-med.
But you was older, though. You was like 30. Wait,
shut up. I'm no 30. Shut up. Never have I ever, knee. Go. Never have I ever. What?
All right, guys. Thank you for tuning in to Docs Outside the Box, guys.
Nope.
Make sure you text us at 1-833-230-2860. Shout out to everybody on YouTube. Shout out to everybody listening to us on the podcast. We will catch you guys on the next one. And that
is that's not a wrap. No, don't cut it off, Alfred. Never have I ever at an SNMA conference. Do not cut this off, Alfred. Go.
My mic is off.
No, it's not. Go. Never have I ever. Go. Come on. You had all weekend to think about this. Stop playing. It's something you haven't done, so never, it's not that bad.
Never have I ever missed Sunday church.
Oh, please. Okay, whatever. Yeah, whatever.
Peace, y'all. Because y'all ain't never going to find out, because I'm the host of Docs Outside the Box. I'm the host of Docs Outside the Box.
It's something you haven't done. It's so stupid.